Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:11 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 9th. Well, I thought I would kick off today talking about China, and you have in front of you here the SHIBOR rate, which is the interbank offer rate for China, and you can see that it's contracted now from approximately 4.5% to 2.8% in the last 7 weeks. So that's, I think, part of the reason why we're starting to see some support coming through for the banking sector and for the stock market. There is evidence of some pretty aggressive easing going on in order to try and insulate the Chinese economy from the threat of trade tensions. Well, that has begun to translate into some support coming through for the stock market. So the A-share index was up about 3% today. And more importantly, that's confirming at least near-term support in the region of the early July low. Now, this is, I think, important because of the extent to which it is oversold relative to the trend mean. There is approximately space for a 10% rally from current levels before the downward trend is really questioned. So there's ample potential here for a short covering rally to take place. And when we look at the banking sector, well, and you do need to type in the correct ticker, well, that has also bounced. And we have evidence of now a higher reaction low. So that's rather encouraging from the short-term perspective. It also suggests that China is aggressively easing. Well, if they are aggressively easing, then how much can we expect the renminbi to rally in rational terms? It's quite unlikely, I think, that it's going to unwind all of the decline that it's put in over the course of the last few months. But this was a very accelerated move, and there is certainly room for some consolidation, not least because the renminbi is back in the region of the lows that it put in at the end of 2016. But there's, I think, also we can conclude from the speed of the decline that China wants a weaker currency, and that is certainly one of the measures they're taking to insulate the domestic economy. What was also interesting today was that crude oil prices were excised from the list of additional new tariffs that China is imposing. And, well, of course, the reason for that is because now the USA is really not far off becoming independent in terms of the market for its own energy needs. I saw this graphic coming through today, and it helps to highlight just how close the U.S. market is to energy independence. And I think this is an additional upshot of the actually in excess of a decade-long game changer that unconventional oil and gas or shale oil and gas have for the energy sector. So if we were to think about why is it that the USA is less interested in appealing to the global economy for a play along to get along kind of way of thinking of things, well, we can think that energy independence gives them the opportunity to throw their weight around a little bit more, and we're certainly seeing evidence of that. And when we think about that in terms of the energy markets, well, the USA has got an interest in higher prices. So that heightened geopolitical tensions are certainly part of that. But the price did pull back rather aggressively yesterday, and it did not bounce in here today. But it's in a process of mean reversion, and until it sustains a move below the trend mean, well, we can still conclude that we're in a reasonably benign environment. But at the same time, we know that a great deal of additional supply becomes economic in the $70 to $80 area, so depending on which benchmark one is using. So that does suggest that we're going to be in for a more volatile environment generally. Well, with warm weather in much of the USA, natural gas usage is increasing, and the price has bounced. So we've seen that natural gas prices are pretty much the only commodity that completely unwound the bull market and are back at levels that preceded the commodity bull. And that is also because of the massive influence of unconventional supply on this particular market. But it does look like we're going to see an additional rally starting to come through here. Well, if China is starting to stabilize, and the renminbi has been relatively steady, the euro was really quite weak in here today. And it's down to 115, and this is now testing the lower side of this 3-month range. It's falling in a dynamic manner and unwinding the relatively steady environment we've had over the last few days. Now, if we turn that around and look at it, look at the dollar index today closed at a new high. It's had new intraday highs over the course of the last few months, but this was a new closing high. And I think the perhaps the most important point is that the downtrend from the beginning of 2017 has very conclusively been broken, and that the most I think logical course for prices to move is higher. And of course, there is the point that when we look at the potential for the USA to become energy independent, then that removes a major source of funds flowing out of the economy. And that being, considering that one of the reasons that people have been so bearish about the dollar and the government's finances is because of the trade deficits. Well, energy independence solves a lot of those kinds of problems. And I suspect that that's also part of the reason behind US Treasuries being that little bit firmer and the 3% level continuing to hold. When we then look at the stock market, well, the S&P 500 has been completely inert for the last three sessions. That is not going to last. It's right in the region of the peak that we saw back in January, and it's a little bit overbought in the short term, so I do think that we're probably going to get some pause and consolidation. The Nasdaq index has been really quite steady, but it is also right in the region of its most recent peak, which was at the end of July. And it's been up on consecutive days for 7 days already, so I think that the most likely scenario is that we are going to get some pause and consolidation starting to come through in here. If we then go and look at the European markets, well, the Euro Stoxx index has been largely range bound for the last year, but with the euro weakening, that is helping to stabilize or to the nominal price. The pound also remains weak, so that should continue to act as a tailwind for UK denominated shares. But I think the much bigger picture with regard to Europe is the fact that the ECB is about to stop its asset purchase program. So when we look at the German Bund, there's still plenty of demand, and the yield is pulling back from the 50 basis point level. And when we look at that on a weekly basis, well, we're not so far away from the zero bound, and there has been a distinct downward bias to the yield over the course of this year so far, and the yield is now pulling back from the region of the trend mean. Well, if we're getting yield compression in bunds, we're starting to get yield expansion in Italy. And Italy really is the outlier in terms of the European bond markets. This yield has first step above the base characteristics, and considering the rhetoric that we're getting from the populist government there, that there is ample scope for additional yield expansion. Well, if we look at, for example, the Spanish government bond market, we have a very different picture. Spain has been decidedly out of the news, and the yield is at 130 basis points, but there has been also a downward bias to that yield since the beginning of 2017. So, despite the fact that there are political tensions in Spain, there is no risk being priced in at present for an uptick in, I think, Eurosceptic tensions for that particular market. It's exactly the same story for the Portuguese market. And if we look at the Irish market, the debt to GDP ratio has contracted steadily. The economy is approaching full employment, and the government bond yield is currently at about 86 basis points. So it has contracted really quite considerably since those peaks at 14% back in 2011. This has been one of the most spectacular rallies of any government bond sector anywhere. Well, if we've seen rallies in some of these government bonds, then we're certainly not seeing that in some of the emerging markets. And the ruble broke down again in here today. This the dollar had first step above the base characteristics over the course of the last few months, and it's broken out in here today with the announcement of sanctions against Russia. The Turkish lira continues to accelerate lower, and it was down again in a dynamic manner in here today. I think what it is rather important on this longer term chart is that there's clear evidence now of acceleration, and what this suggests is that there is going to have to be some really very aggressive action on behalf of the central bank and indeed the government to support the currency. When we look at, for example, an ETF which takes out the influence of the currency, well, we can see that the price has come from 2,250 p down to 1,250 p in the course of a year, and this is a very substantial breakdown below the 1,500 p level. And this is also a consistent trend, so there is ample potential here for additional downside. Now, the Argentine peso is also weakening. We have had some pause over the course of the last few weeks, but it was down in a dynamic manner in here today. So it's not simply that the dollar is rallying against the euro, but that we are getting some broad-based dollar strength starting to come through, and we're getting some tentative evidence that the dollar is even beginning to find some support against the Japanese yen, and that would help to confirm that the progression of high reaction lows is going to remain intact. Well, against a background where the dollar has been firm, I think gold prices that has been an influence on the gold price, and it wasn't quite able to hold an intraday rally in here today, but it has been somewhat more inert over the last five sessions. But I think the most important thing is that the progression of lower rally highs remains intact, and as long as that remains the case, then we're it really is for the bulls to prove that they can muster demand enough to break the downtrend around this $1,200 area. This has been a very abrupt decline over the course of the last 4 months. There is certainly scope for a reversionary rally, but there isn't much evidence that it's getting underway just yet. And silver prices were in mildly positive territory in here today and have been largely range bound for almost a month already, but they need a couple of clear upward dynamics in a row to really start to pressure short positions. Then platinum prices have bounced from the 800 area, but have not been able to yet push above that 850 area, and it's been really just up one day, down the next for the last couple of weeks. Then, when we look at the industrial metal complex, well, copper prices had been pulling back really very aggressively for a couple of weeks and have stabilized, but that's doing not much more than unwinding the short-term oversold condition, and the price was not able to hold its advance intraday in here today. So this continues to look like a bearish environment for the copper price. There was a news this morning that aluminium prices in China had begun to stabilize, and aluminium was able to hold its advance all the way through the end of the session, and it's confirming near-term support here in this psychological $2,000 area. So it's not all bad news in the industrial metals, but they are going to have to be treated on their individual merits. Then when we look at the nickel price, Well, nickel had come right back to test the region of the trend mean, and it has bounced over the last five sessions. Now, it has got some work to do, and upside follow-through next week would really help to confirm that more than very near-term support has been found. But at least the action that we've seen so far this week has been reasonably encouraging. Then when we look at the agricultural commodities, well, wheat prices have been among the best performers so far this year. But it's not so much that we've seen a big rally in US wheat, but when we look at the UK wheat price, that's where we see the very clear source of supply deficits, that there's been an acceleration higher in the price over the course of the last 6 weeks. And that's in response to the drought conditions that you have in much of Europe. If we look at the French wheat price, then we can also see that there has been a very emphatic breakout. But one would have to question now whether that is due for some additional consolidation, that we've already had a big move. And now there is, at least we have the short-term overbought condition, so the market is now considerably more risky. When we look at the lumber price, well, it had been extraordinarily overextended, and now it has come all the way back down to test the $400 level. Well, $400 is a big psychological level for lumber because it represented the upper side of the underlying 25-year range. So it's a natural area where people can begin to ask whether this is where support is likely to be found. Then China is one of the biggest consumers and indeed producers of pork in the world. And the trade tensions are having some pressure on, are putting pressure on lean hogs. But there's a very deep oversold condition evident here. And we're starting to see the very first evidence of support starting to come through here, with lean hogs posting an upside key reversal in here today. And just checking what the limit is. And let me see, the upside limit. So it was limit up in here today, up $3 full. And that's beginning to indicate that some demand is coming back through into this market. Well, soybeans has also been one of those markets that has sold off aggressively, and it has bounced over the course of the last 3 weeks. And now the big question is whether it is going to be able to sustain a move back above that trend mean. But the 800 cent level has been an area of support on a couple of occasions since 2008, and it's a reasonable prognostication that it might find support there once more. And cotton prices have been trending higher in a reasonably consistent manner for most of this year, but they do look likely to come back to test the region of the trend mean. Then the question will be whether the progression of higher reaction lows will remain intact. So when we take a look through, or perhaps take a step back from the outlook that we have in the commodity markets, it's certainly not a singular story. There are very clear differences in performance, and there is certainly potential for rebounds in a number of them. I personally think that we have not seen the end of trade tensions, and that the fact that you have the rise of populism, the revolt against the status quo, and the revolution in the energy sector are combining to change the appetite and the need that people have for international agreements, and that we are seeing a reordering of international relationships, and that that is going to have both positive and negative connotations. It's something I think we'll be exploring in this service for the foreseeable future. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.